our Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to talk about us being a redeemed people this morning. We'll be observing emblems of communion here shortly. But we're going to want you to know that if you're saved, born again of God's Spirit, please partake with us, whether you're a member of this church or not. That doesn't matter. Know that you're saved by the blood of Jesus. You're welcome to participate in that. Encourage you to. Well, 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin with verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 23, same chapter. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence this day. We're so unworthy, but you have blessed us with your presence. Thank you, Savior. God, I pray, Lord, for the ministry of the word of God, that it will touch the hearts and instruct us in righteousness, we pray. May your will be done today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. The church, God's people, are a redeemed people. This past week I talked with a young woman at a restaurant here. And she told me of her life that was bound by sin. She was bound by alcohol and various other things. And sometime in her younger years, she turned to the Lord, and God saved her, and God filled her with the Spirit, and God helped her. But somewhere during that time, she fell back into her sin again. And she said she was in and out of secular rehabs, and it would just be when the rehab thing was over with, she went back to what she was before. But she said one night, she got on her face before God in her own bedroom with nobody to help pray for her. But she said she committed her heart to Jesus, and God, I really want to be right this time. And God, that very night, came into that bedroom and set her free, and she's been completely clean and free for 3 years. That is a work of God. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that. God redeems or purchases people out of darkness from all walks of life, and only God can set a captive free, and it takes him to do that. Amen. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Yet so many trade the eternal life offer of God's great salvation for some foolish temporary thing that can never last and that can never give hope beyond the grave. Because you see, the redemption of our soul is costly. It costs God to give his only son to provide payment for the eternal souls of mankind. Man could never pay for his own sin. He could not be an acceptable sacrifice to God. As for to atone for sin, it took a perfect, sinless one to take our sins. And the only perfect, sinless one there ever was Jesus. As he lived the perfect righteousness of the law, and he became the Lamb of God without spot, without blemish, without defect, without wrinkle, without anything except the perfect holiness of God, and God would accept only his Son as a sacrifice for our sins, as to make permanent payment for our eternal souls. Yet Jesus willingly and patiently suffered, died at the cross, endured the cross, endured many things, endured. We think about the sufferings of the cross, we think about the physical pain, and yes, crucifixion was a cruel method of execution developed, believed to be by the Phoenicians, to make a person suffer as much as possible before death took over. And that is what carnal mankind, or that's what sin leads to, is to make people suffer. But I want to tell you something. Jesus willingly and patiently suffered, died that we might have pardon, forgiveness, deliverance from our sins, and he rose again from the dead to give eternal life. Not only did he suffer physical pain, but he bore the guilt and the shame of the sins of billions of people. Amen. And paid the price that it would take for us to have eternal life. It came at great cost. Amen. But Jesus was willing to make us his redeemed, purchased people. So thank God for that. We are a redeemed people. Let's look at, first of all, what is redemption? Redemption is the offering of something in exchange, in the natural sense, for money. And it refers commonly to, in the scripture many times, and especially in the Old Testament, it offers money to free a slave from his slavery or to free somebody from, as a prisoner of war. And so, what is redemption? It's a freeing somebody from something for an exchange of something else. But to the believer, you and I, it is God purchasing us from the slavery of sin to freedom of living in obedience to God. And Jesus paid for our sins? Yes, he did. Praise the Lord. But God did not have to do anything. He was not obligated to do anything. God's never obligated to do anything. God does as he wants to. He doesn't need my instruction or yours. He doesn't need your opinion or my opinion on anything. He always does what's right. He's God. Hallelujah. But yet, God stepped down to humanity. We didn't go up to him, but he came down to us. He condescended to humanity. God did because he loves us. And it's a love far beyond our understanding. Amen. We know and experience the love of God when we're saved, we're born again, yes, but we have yet eternity to experience the love of God, and love is eternal. God's love is. And redemption is the purchase of our hell-bound souls to give us deliverance and eternal life instead. Praise God. The only other place for you in eternity is hell, except for Jesus stepped in and made a way, and there's heaven instead. There are not several levels that you can go to. There's not, we don't need the Congress to decide whether this is a good bill or not. Amen. God gave eternal life, and he gives us the choice. And there are people that believe that God made all choices before the foundation of the world, who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost. But I want to tell you something. God gave us a choice. God told Joshua of old, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The word of God says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you may live. God made us free moral agents. We have the choice. He's given us that. And it's God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, not just certain select few. God wishes everyone to be saved. And so sin could not be dealt with in any other way than for God to become a man and pay the death penalty for our sins. Yet God is so rich in love, he was willing to do so for you and I. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life. Nobody took it from him. He said, I have the authority to lay down my life. I have the authority to take it again. This commandment I received from my Father. And this is what he did. Praise the Lord. Let's look at let's look at the price for redemption. It was not in earthly things. Verse 18, you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold received from the aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. You know, humanity could never come up with anything that would pay for even one single sin. Not at all. It's something that had to be dealt with in a divine manner. It had to be from God. Amen. We hear things that seem impossible in the natural world. People say, that's not possible. Nobody could do that. It'd take God to do that. Let me tell you something. It takes God to save you and I from our sins. Praise the Lord. Regardless of how, in your opinion or my opinion, how deep or how awful the sin may have been or how minimal the sin may have been, sin, whatever it was, separated us from God. We needed deliverance. Amen. And so the price for redemption, it was not in silver or gold. If it was, there'd be people trying to buy their way to heaven. But it's never worked. It never will work because there's no way we can purchase eternal life. It has to be given. Nor can we purchase forgiveness of sins. It has to be paid for. And there is nothing to offer God in exchange for our sins. We must have God's grace, His mercy, and His gift of salvation. Amen. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And that word death there, it doesn't mean just to die physically, but it means the second death, to die eternally, and to be eternally away, absent from the presence of God forever, absent from the love, mercy, compassion, and kindness of God forever. I cannot imagine being away from God forever. You don't want to be away from God. Good news, you don't have to be away from God forever. You can be born again of God's Spirit. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Earthly things are perishable. Whatever you own is not eternal. It may last a while. It may last the rest of your life, but it's not going to last forever. Usable things, things we think we can't do without, they are perishable. They wear out, fade as clothing does, and they've always got a whole line of new stuff for you to spend your money on when it comes to clothing, all that kind of stuff. Houses wear out, automobiles wear out, inheritances don't last forever unless they're eternal and come from God, but things considered valuable fade away. Notice verse 14 here. It says, it's obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, because whatever a person thinks is sinful and happy and makes you happy, it doesn't. It don't last forever. It's called ignorance here. Amen. God called it that. I didn't. Amen. But I'll call it that too, since God did, and that's right. But he who has called you is holy, so you also be holy in all of your conduct. And we don't want a whole lot of holiness preaching today because it gets on people's nerves. Because we talk about being holy. But it should get on our nerves. It should talk to our hearts and know that we serve a holy God who is perfectly pure, perfectly righteous, has never sinned, will never sin, and will never welcome sin into his heaven. And the only way that we can be absent from sin is to have the righteousness of Christ cover us by faith in what he did on the cross through his blood. Amen. And so things of this world wear out. Amen. This is probably not a pleasant thing for you to look at, as it's not to me. That's a sock. It's a dirty sock. I want to tell you something. That thing survived 3 garage sales. It's a reject. Amen. But it wore out. And things of this life wear out, but God does not wear out. God doesn't age. God doesn't get older. God doesn't get more tolerable the older that he gets. Because you see, God never began and God will never end. It's hard for you and I to imagine in our natural life. We think everything has a beginning and end. But the only thing that God never ends, it never began. But hope of redemption rests fully on God's grace and favor and love. Without the favor of God, you and I would not be able to make it. We would not be able to have any hope hereafter, here or hereafter. But God gives grace, divine mercy, amen, unfair and merited favor to you and I. Why did God show favor to you and I? And you say, you may look at people and say, I can't believe God showed them any favor. Just remember, God showed you favor. Amen. And by giving his only son for you and I know this is basic gospel. It's okay though. Amen. God shed his grace upon us that we might have eternal life. He saves the worst and the least because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All incur the death penalty because they're born with a sin nature. And it takes God to redeem us and to change our nature and give us eternal life. But he does that and he can do that through faith in him. Praise the Lord. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, let's notice this. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. That would be in the person of Jesus Christ. What does grace teach? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's what grace really teaches. It teaches you to not sin all you want to and try to get away with it. But he says, true grace to teaching us to lay aside the old life and live for God. But true redemption comes at a price. And I'm amazed at Psalms chapter 40. Verses 6 through 9, I want to bring those up. Psalms chapter 40. Amen. And it gives, talks about the price of redemption here a little bit. And this is before Christ, before, many years before. This is one Psalm of David. Psalms 40 and 6 says, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Notice this, for the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. That may be a sad verse without Christ, but Christ has given us redemption. It was costly. It cost the Son of God his life. I know he rose again from the dead. He has eternal life, but he did die. Not for his sins, because he didn't have any, but for ours. And so, our redemption came at a heavy price. And I believe when we begin to concentrate on what Jesus did for us, it'll make us broken on the inside. It'll make us cry, holy is the Lord. It'll make us feel unworthy of his love and his grace. And God did not call any of us because we're worthy of it, but his blood, the blood of Jesus, has made us worthy. And that's the only thing that makes us worthy, but it does. Praise the Lord. Because you could not have anything in this world had God not given it. You could not be a Christian. You could not be a child of God. You would not be on your way to heaven had it not been for God intervening in our life and for Jesus shedding his blood as payment for our sin. There are people who have rejected Christ down through the years. Foolish thing to do, but people have. Let's look at Judas for a moment. One of the disciples, one of the 12. Judas was used mightily of God, powerfully by God. At one time, he was given authority over to cast out demons and to heal sicknesses, as the other 12 were. For a short period of time, God used those in that manner. But when it came to the thing, to being real with God, he was not. And Jesus knew from the beginning who it was that would betray him. It's not that God made him betray him. It's just that God knew. And Jesus spoke these words in the hearing of Judas, which said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? And we know the story goes on. For 30 pieces of silver, Jesus betrayed his Lord, and he gained 30 pieces of silver, but he lost his soul. That's a foolish exchange. When he could have had his name written on one of the 12 foundations of the New Jerusalem. Okay. Praise the Lord. So we know the price of our redemption was costly. It could not be done with silver and gold or anything. But we are purchased from a bondage to sin. And silver or gold cannot make a difference to a person who is in bondage to sin. No deliverance to the ones who are in bondage to sinful habits that won't let go. And my heart goes out to people who really want to be through and be free from sin, but they just cannot in their own selves have the authority or the ability to stand up and say, I just don't want to do this, and I make the choice to not do this anymore. And it is true God gives us a choice, and it is true that God does not want us to continue in a life of sin. But I'm here to tell you there's good news today. I believe God can give people authority and give God power and to help them stand up in a society and say no to sin and yes to God. And God can set the captive free, and God can deliver the oppressed. And the afflicted. Amen. Jesus came to do that. I'm glad you and I are here today. Many of us are testimony of that God set us free from something we couldn't overcome ourselves. And I don't care where you are or what you've done or where you've been or what sins you've participated in. They may be filthy and wretched. You may not even want anybody to know what you used to do. But I want to tell you something. God knows and God loves you. God can forgive you. God can redeem you. Amen. He can purchase you from the bondage of sin. And he does so by his blood. Amen. And the blood of Jesus is applied to our hearts by faith. Knowing you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. From your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Because Judaism taught that if you do certain things and you can be accepted by God and pay for your own sins, but you can't. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. God delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage. And that couldn't have happened without blood. You know, you would say, well, I'm not for a bloody religion. I don't want songs or sermons on the blood. You're in the wrong church. Amen. You, matter of fact, you won't be in a church if you're not preaching that. Amen. I'm not bragging on myself or this church. I'm just saying we're going to preach the blood. We're going to sing about the blood that sets us free. We're going to sing about that price that Jesus paid on the cross for our sins. It's not about me or you. It's about what God did for us. Hallelujah. And so we know that Israel would not have escaped Egypt had it not been that God required there to be blood. And that night in Egypt, there was a midnight cry before Matthew 25 was ever written. But blood had to be applied to every Israelite that could apply the blood of a lamb to the doorpost of their house. And that night, the last plague of Egypt, the death angel would pass through that land, and every house that didn't have blood applied to the doorpost of that house, there would be a death of the firstborn in all of that country. And in all that land, from the firstborn, there was a dead person in every house that didn't have the blood applied to the doorpost. Even in the house of Pharaoh. Finally, after the last plague, Pharaoh finally was convinced that God's going to destroy this place if I don't let these people go. Amen. And so we know that they were escaped, went out of Egypt, a type of sin, and were delivered and set completely free from Egyptian bondage, those who were covered by the blood of that lamb over the doorpost. And I know that was just a type of the blood of Christ that would come to you and I, that we through faith can have the blood of Christ applied to the doorpost of our heart, and that judgment won't come to us if we'll live under the blood. Now, the Israelites were instructed, don't go out of the house once that blood's been applied. So you and I should not go out from under living for Christ once the blood of Christ has been applied to our hearts. You don't want to fall back into that evil life of sin, of walking after the flesh, the world, and the devil. You want the blood to stay. Amen. It will be applied to your life. And God, when he sees us, he will see the blood of his son covering you and say, this is my son. This is my daughter. They've been accepted into my kingdom. They've been born again. They've been redeemed. The blood of my son is paid for their sin, and they're one of mine. That's the way we want to face God. Precious blood, the only blood that is sinless. A lamb without blemish, without spot, had to be offered in the Old Testament as a sacrifice. It couldn't be sick, it couldn't be lame, it couldn't be diseased, but it had to be the best lamb of the flock of animals that was there. But I want to tell you something that typified Christ, who was completely without sin, of a lamb without blemish, without spot. John the Baptist sees Jesus coming one day and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Lamb of God. And church, today we are the people of God. We're children of God by new birth. We've been given to Him. Praise the Lord. We're a people called out, purchased out of sin. Amen. You were paid for. Your sins were paid for by the blood. You say, I don't want to be owned by anyone. I do. I want to be owned by Christ. I want to be owned by Him. Hallelujah. You say, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. Well, just go ahead and live like that. But I want to tell you, I want God to tell me what to do. I want Him to tell us how to live and what to live, what to say no to and what to say yes to. We need God in our life. He's not trying to keep us from having fun or having a good life. He's trying to spare us from the consequences of a life of sin. Amen. And so God loves us and God cares. In church, we're the people of God, children of God, chosen of God, people called out, purchased of God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should proclaim the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. So we're a called out people, His people. And we have been given eternal life, eternal hope, an eternal dwelling place in heaven, and we've been given a heavenly citizenship. Philippians 3:20, read it in Sunday school this morning. Praise the Lord. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. There's an eternal makeover awaiting you and I who live for God. And it won't be a Hollywood makeover. It'll be a real makeover. God's going to give us a transformed body, a body that can stand the glory of a great heaven God has prepared. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't apologize for getting blessed. When I think about what Jesus' blood has done, what all He's done, what He's accomplished, we must remember, therefore, what God accomplished through His Son on the cross, His broken body, His shed blood. Not only that, but His bodily resurrection from the dead, which guarantees eternal life, having authority, complete power over death. He told John the Revelator, many years later, John would be about 90 years old, the Apostle John. He told him, Revelation 1:18, I am He that lives and was dead. But now I'm alive forevermore, and I have the authority, keys of hell and of death. And so we know that Jesus is risen, He's exalted to the right hand of the Father. Amen. And He's coming again. But we don't want to forget what He did on Calvary, that we were redeemed by the blood of Christ. Thank God for His broken body and His shed blood. Amen.